Welcome. How are you guys doing? Day three of the conference, right? It's awesome. My name is Beth Massey. I work on the Visual Studio team. I work on the Light Switch team. And today I'm going to talk to you about what we've done in the latest version of Light Switch to enable you to build custom business applications on SharePoint 2013. Okay, so in the room, how many people are SharePoint developers? Okay, how many people are not SharePoint developers and they were just interested in the talk? Okay, cool, about half and half. Great, so I am not really a SharePoint developer, but I know enough to be very dangerous. I've been working with SharePoint since 2010. I know many SharePoint developers have had much more painful experiences with the early versions of SharePoint, and so I'm actually on the team inside of a Visual Studio that builds not only Light Switch, but the Office and SharePoint tooling inside of Visual Studio. So I'm hoping that as of 2010, we added tools to Visual Studio to help you build on SharePoint. So we are the same team. Okay, so I'm going to kind of position Light Switch for you, because who in the room is familiar with Light Switch? Yeah, a lot of you? Good. Who's never heard of it ever before? Okay, only a few people. That's good. All right, so then I will tell you what it is. It is a very awesome product, let me tell you. What it is you can think of Light Switch as a RAD tooling inside of Visual Studio, Rapid Application Development tooling, inside of VS that helps you build business productivity applications, as well as data services. Okay, so at the end of the day, you're building some data services and you're building a web application. But all the plumbing is handled for you. Okay, all the technology decisions are made for you. Okay, and the plumbing is done. So all the crud that you deal with retrieving records and updating databases and data sources, all that stuff that you probably are writing over and over, the data access layer that you write over and over again, all that stuff is handled automatically for you, as well as a lot of the client-side patterns that are very typical in business apps, like dirty checking and not closing screens if, the people are doing work in them and that type sort of thing. So there's an application shell that you kind of get for free. Another nice thing about Light Switch is it provides this roadmap as more and more users start using the application. It has a very flexible deployment model. So without making any code changes, you can take your application and say you're hosting it on your own IIS server, but you need more scale, you can go ahead and then redeploy, say, into Azure. Okay, so without making any code changes whatsoever. We also have added the SharePoint support, so you can go ahead and deploy into SharePoint. Now, once you go ahead and deploy into SharePoint, you're basically tying it to SharePoint. So we're building a SharePoint application, okay? But with the new apps model of SharePoint, we're allowed to just build web applications, okay? And those web applications are surfaced inside of SharePoint and can talk to SharePoint assets. Okay, so Light Switch can do this too. So I like to say that Light Switch, I'm stealing a quote from one of our awesome community members, who Paul Van Bladel is his name. He described Light Switch in one sentence once, and it is perfect. Light Switch is simple on the outside, but it's rich on the inside. So it's a really guided experience for building business applications, but without having to think about all of the low-level details of building an application. Okay, so there are a few sweet spots, I call them, where we're really kind of where Light Switch really does a good job. We've added two additional sweet spots in the latest version of Light Switch, and that was released Visual Studio 2012 Update 2 in April. Okay, mobile web business apps. I spoke about this yesterday, and we're going to see a lot of it today. We're going to be building a mobile application that works with SharePoint. The mobile business apps are optimized for touch, okay? So the touch devices, modern devices, because they're HTML5 and JavaScript clients, okay? So you got, your iOS, your Android, Windows Phone 8, Windows RT. If you are thinking about more of traditional business application, you're thinking probably the desktop scenarios. Those are optimized for the heavy mouse and keyboard scenarios where you have a lot of data entry. This was basically, we released Light Switch in July 2011. That was the client, the desktop client. Okay, this also is going to be necessary. Desktop clients are necessary when you need to do legacy COM integration. You need to read an iScanner or manipulate some device that's connected to a computer. Okay, so that handles that scenario as well. And then we're going to talk about today the Office 365 and SharePoint with provider hosting. So meaning that you can build an application and host it somewhere, like Azure would be a good place. And then you basically will just take and deploy the manifest into Office 365 or your on-premise SharePoint 2013. With the new apps model, you can basically build your application. It runs completely outside of the server, of the SharePoint server. Okay, so this is a really nice, and you manage it. You can manage it, the experience, through the, like, your users have a portal that they go to through SharePoint, and your applications are surfaced right through there. But the middle tier in the database is hosted wherever you would like. Okay, that's a provider host. We'll talk a little bit more about hosting in a bit. Okay, so these are sort of the three areas where I think Lightswitch really shines. We've been busy. The Lightswitch is on version 3 now. I mentioned we originally released in July 2011, and that was, you know, out-of-band release. Visual Studio 2010 was released, and then we released in July, okay? So you had to install Lightswitch to get it into Visual Studio 2010. Then we were really, you know, quick turnaround, and we got on the train, the Visual Studio 2012. When Visual Studio 2012 released in August, RTM'd, we added the ability, Lightswitch just automatically creates OData services, as well as is able to consume OData services. And we also added support for Azure websites when those websites came out. So Lightswitch has always been able to deploy to Azure cloud services, but we also added the websites in that version. And then last month, or a month and a half ago, I guess, in April, we released the HTML5 mobile client and the SharePoint support. Then we released a small update in May when jQuery Mobile 1.3 released. We released like a client runtime update. And this is just to make sure that you, when you're building a Lightswitch application and you're choosing to use the HTML client, that you stay current with how fast any JavaScript libraries evolve so that you're not left behind. Okay, so you can opt in to the runtime update if you'd like. Okay, so when it comes to building SharePoint applications, you can choose to use either the desktop client. It's actually a Silverlight client. You use an in-browser Silverlight client or the HTML client. Okay, you can actually deploy either one. Some of the features that we're going to really discuss a little deeper is the SharePoint apps. And because of the new SharePoint apps model, we can not only connect to SharePoint data, because Lightswitch was always able to connect to SharePoint data via its OData service, but really what we're allowing you to do now is write, you know, CSOM like against SharePoint assets, deploy SharePoint assets with your Lightswitch projects, as well as, you know, manipulate the data across the data sources with however you'd like. So we kind of like a little bit deeper inside of the SharePoint app model. And then we actually have, you know, like a bunch of other features that we added. Performance is one of them. We increased the performance in the latest version. So there's a lot of reasons to just get the latest version. And it's actually free, right? Because it's just update 2. If you already have Visual Studio 2012, just install update 2. Okay. All right, so for the folks in the room that have just never, like, even opened up Lightswitch, File New Project Lightswitch, the first thing you're going to be asked in Lightswitch is, where's your data? Either you need to create some data, we're going to start modeling data inside Lightswitch, or it's going to ask you what data source do you like to connect to. So you describing your data is one of the key things you do in Lightswitch. That's probably, like, where you spend most of your time is describing your data. It's the data modeling piece of it. And then there's a set of screens that you choose. There's a bunch of templates you can choose from. There's just starting points that you can customize further later. But at that point, you have some screens over some data. Okay, so it's forms over data, basic forms over data. In this cycle, you're doing a lot of prototyping typically. So you're like creating some tables and relationships, creating some screens. No, that's not it. Deleting fields, that sort of stuff. When you delete fields from the model, it automatically deletes from the screens as well. So you're not Lightswitch is maintaining all of that stuff for you. So you don't have to think about a lot of I messed up the data binding or that kind of thing. Lightswitch is doing all of that for you. However, I've never seen a business application without some sort of business logic, so you're going to write code at some point. You're going to write your business logic. So Lightswitch is about, you know, doing all the plumbing for you, but we always used to say that the only code you write is the only code you could write. which is the business logic. It's the code that Microsoft can't write for you. It's the code you need to write. Okay, so you author the business logic. We provide many hooks for you to get in and do all sorts of stuff, manipulate the data how you need. And then you're going to start customizing screens. You're going to start doing, you know, custom queries. You're going to start refining your application. And at this point, this is all in the box. We have designers, we have three main designers for data modeling, for screen design, and for query design. At this point, you could just deploy your application and party on. You'd be happy and everything's great. However, we know that most of the time you're going to have some sort of, you know, thing, some sort of scenario that we just didn't think of, and you're going to need to go out of the box. So we've built in a really rich extensibility model inside of Lightswitch. I'm not going to talk too much about it today, but just know that there's a whole ecosystem of components that you can bring into Lightswitch. Like control vendors is one, like a good example. Component One and Infragistics, and these guys have controls. Component One is actually a really great partner for Lightswitch, has a lot of great controls. And then you can even author your own if you'd like. It's not just about controls, though. It's about the data sources as well. It's about business types and getting into the design time if you want. So we have a lot of extension points. Okay, so we really just wanted to make sure that you didn't hit a glass ceiling. There's a way. It's just .NET at the end of the day, and HTML5 and JavaScript if you're doing an HTML client. Okay, so there's a lot, and actually in the HTML client, it's even more awesome because it's like, you know, there's so many JavaScript widgets and libraries out there that you can, you know, pull in and use. Okay, so what are you building? And what is Lightswitch really under the covers? So who is not a developer in the house and was just freaking out at this? Okay, good. All right, good. So Lightswitch, you know, at the end of the day, you're building an end-tier application. Okay, it's a web application. You've got your data sources. You get a bunch of data sources come in the box, like SQL Server, which means SQL Azure as well, SharePoint, OData services. Other is just any Entity Framework 4 provider you have installed, it will work. There's Entity Framework is happening under the covers. Okay. Then you have the middle tier. This is your ASP.NET, you know, IIS7 hosted thing. Window WCF data service layer, that's your OData stack. Okay, we're using WCF data services to go back and forth between the client and the middle tier. And then we have some constructs built on top of that. So there's an application framework on the client and on the middle tier, but you can always kind of drop down. We kind of give you an API that you can drop down deeper if you need it. Okay, so there's a data workspace, concept of data workspace, a submit pipeline. We're going to do a lot of coding in that area today. This is where we can manipulate SharePoint through CSOM from our middle tier. Okay. Then there's the client tier, and you have two options. You have the desktop app is the Silverlight client, and then the HTML5 is the mobile. Okay, so you have two options for clients. Now, technically, OData service, you could go ahead and write any other client that you want. So if you wanted a Windows Store app, you could use Lightswitch as the middle tier, and then you could just connect the Windows Store app to the data services. Okay, so Lightswitch is creating open data services for you. Now, when it comes to hosting, I mentioned there's a flexible deployment here. You got cloud and on-prem, and you know you don't have SharePoint is an option. It's like kind of an opt-in. Okay, you're going to say yes, I'm going to start using SharePoint. Okay, so you basically get. Lightswitch is always about a data store somewhere, so it needs a database. And so the hosting that you are going to choose for SharePoint would either be provider-hosted or auto-hosted. SharePoint hosting is just the little, you know, widgets and client-side only stuff. So Lightswitch apps, they live in Azure. They could live in Azure, or they can live on your SharePoint on-prem 2013. Okay, it needs to be SharePoint 2013 to host a Lightswitch app because it needs that to take advantage of that new app model. Your HTML5 browsers, the support there, really good support in iOS 5 and 6, you know, Android 4, WinRT, Windows Phone 8, there's really good support for that. You can also host, like I mentioned, you can host the Silverlight in browser also in SharePoint as well. So there's a lot of options for you. Today we're going to just build a mobile application. I'm not going to get into the Silverlight deployment. So here's the, if you guys are SharePoint developers, you probably know a lot about this. But these are the hosting options I was mentioning. The SharePoint hosted app doesn't apply to Lightswitch. But two options for you with two options for you, depending on how you're thinking about or what type of application it is and how you think about your architecture. When you're doing an auto-hosted app, you're basically telling SharePoint that it's per instance, per site instance, per user, basically. Not per user, but per site. Okay, this app is going to be used per site, and none of the data between the sites will be shared. Okay. But if you're doing a provider-hosted app, you need to think about the disadvantage, I guess, to an auto-hosted app in that case is if the user deletes the app, all the data is also deleted. Now, depending on what the app does, that might not be an issue. But normally, you know, when you write a business application, you want to manage the data. You want to manage the data a lot. You should probably have some sensitive data. So it's probably a better route to architect a provider-hosted app. And in that case, the middle tier and data is shared across all of the sites, okay? So you need to think about multi-tenancy. You need to think about how am I going to manage, you know, a bunch of users? And this could be even like you have a SharePoint app inside the SharePoint store, right? And you're selling it. You have to think about multiple customers. Now, Lightswitch provides a filtering mechanisms at the entity level, so you can do row level security. You could say, oh, like, this user can only see this set of data. Okay, so Lightswitch tries to make it easier for you to design multi-tenant, but you have to design that up front in your database. Okay, so those are the two options to think about when you design your apps. So really what's going on here is when the app is running, you really are just saying, okay, here's just a manifest to SharePoint that tells SharePoint how to talk to your application. Lightswitch handles all of the authentication for you via OAuth, okay? So you don't have to write any of that code yourself. Lightswitch will handle doing that for you. So really, you're just visualizing these apps inside of the web browser just like you would any other SharePoint web part, that kind of thing. Okay, so it's kind of an easy model that way. It's kind of like it's separated. Whatever's the web server over here that Lightswitch is, you know, running on, the middle tier and database or whatever we're running on, it's completely isolated from the SharePoint farm. It provides better stability that way. Okay. These are the features that we have released for the first version of our SharePoint scenario here. The application.sharepoint and application.user, these are sort of the APIs that you get when you enable SharePoint. You can enable and disable SharePoint, which means it just does three things for you. It will handle the authentication. It can do hybrid auth code, so that server-to-server high trust, or ACS, access control services, which would be like something like Office 365 provides you. You don't have to change your code. It would just work because we provide an API for you. We can do SharePoint list attach. When we do the list attach, we basically say, okay, my data's in SharePoint, and I'm going to show that. My data's in SharePoint. When I manipulate that data, you want to make sure that the user's identity, okay, is tracked, right? So, but you're using it through the application, okay? So it's going to always make sure to maintain the user's identity inside of the Lightswitch application, so you can always get at that SharePoint user identity, and it'll comply with everything that you would, you know, need with SharePoint if you're building a SharePoint apps. The other thing is that you're just going to add the CSOM references to the server. Okay, so those are really the three main things. And then publishing, we have a publishing wizard and all that stuff, so we're going to get through that in a second. So if you really are looking deep, really what it is there's a SharePoint project is added to your Lightswitch project. Okay, I mentioned the SharePoint tools as part of our team as well, the SharePoint tooling team. Well, that's how we're able to, you know, love each other so well and get this thing integrated really right. Okay, so SharePoint project is like the normal file new project Office SharePoint. Okay, when you do a Lightswitch application and then you enable SharePoint, you get a SharePoint project in there. And that gives you the package, the features, you can add, you know, I have a list instance showing here. You can add additional things that also deploy with the Lightswitch application. Okay, so you can think about deploying assets as well as consuming assets. So flipping over to the HTML client, so the thing that you can think about when you're building SharePoint applications with Lightswitch is it really provides a very easy, quick way to create a mobile app with SharePoint data, okay? It's really about mobile first, though. We are really targeting touch in this scenario, but it's not to say that you can't create, you know, any other widgets or custom controls or that sort of thing to visualize your data. But out of the box, the controls that you get are touch-enabled. Okay, but you can customize them further. Okay, so it's all standards-based. If you're a web developer, you should be very comfortable in Lightswitch. It's doing a lot of the plumbing for you, but you should be comfortable extending it and writing JavaScript, and it's CSS and HTML5 and that sort of thing. I mentioned the supporting platforms. Okay, so this is really where HTML5 is right now. Okay, who supports HTML5 the best? Okay, so I like to go through slides first and then do demos the rest of the time. This is kind of how I am. So I'm going to fire up Visual Studio here. Okay, and create a new project. Okay, and we'll call it Survey App. Now, what I'm going to build, project, it exists. I did it already once before. Survey App Tech Ed. All right. I practiced the demo once, I guess. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build an application that we're going to need a mobile solution, because we're a food distributor, and we have a bunch of folks, sales, kind of surveyors that go out to stores that are showcasing our products, and they need to perform surveys right on the spot. Okay, like, you know, is the display clean, and where's the shelf placement? But all of the data that we have around our customers and our products is in SharePoint, okay? But we want them to be able to take this with them. So we're going to build a survey application. Okay, so first, I need to add a table here, because I'm going to build the surveys. We don't have the surveys on SharePoint, but we have our business data, the products and the customers in SharePoint. So this is the survey. This is the data designer. You've never seen it before. And I'm just going to add a sales rep name here. And we'll do, display cleanliness. And I'm going to store that as an integer, okay? But I'm going to make this a choice list. So let's see, we'll say 0 is very poor, 1 poor, 2 fair, 3 good, and 4 very good. Oh, excellent. Why not? Okay, and then I'm going to add, we could create a whole survey. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to add one more. Let's do shelf placement. Okay, integer, and we'll do 0 is the bottom, 2 is mid-level, and 3 is top. Okay. All right, so now I need to bring in my SharePoint data. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to flip over here to our properties, and you'll notice we have a SharePoint tab. Okay, so I'm going to enable SharePoint, and I'm actually going to use our site. So actually, let's take a look at our site, what we got. I got this thing called Contoso Surveys. We all know Contoso. I've just got two custom lists right here, customers and products. Now, I could have, you know, all my workflow and business logic and rules and everything around, you know, the data inside of SharePoint, but we've got two lists here. I want to use these two lists inside. All right, so let me go and grab this URL, surveys, there we go. Okay, so I'll hit OK. Now, if the internet is happy, I will be happy. Okay, hopefully it works. All right, so now what that did is that if we take a look over and flip over to file view, you'll now see there's our SharePoint project there. Okay, oh, it wants me to connect. Okay, I was waiting for that. Okay, so I could have also put an on-premise SharePoint 2013 as well, okay? Now, here's where it's asking me how I would like to authenticate. Because Office 365 uses access control services, that's why I did that. Otherwise, if you have, you know, a high trust server to server, you need to specify your certificate location and that kind of thing. That would work as well. And, you know, that you might have that if you have it on-premise. Okay, so, and you can also change it later. Like for deployment, we ask you again, how do you want to authenticate, okay? So it's not like here, it's separate between development and deployment. All right, so now I'm gonna go back to our view here, and we're gonna go back into the data designer, and I'm gonna actually add a new data source, and I'm gonna select SharePoint, and now I'm going to surveys. Put our site in there, and I'm just going to have it automatically choose user identity. Because I've enabled SharePoint now, it's going to automatically handle that for me. Oh, and again, it's very secure. Okay, so what this does is it's going to retrieve all the lists that I have, okay? So you'll see all of the lists are shown, okay? But I have a couple custom lists. Here's the customers, and here's the products. And it always pulls in the user information because this is a related table, okay, for the created by and updated by. All right, so I'm gonna call this, instead of Contoso underscore survey data, I'm gonna call it survey data. Okay, so now I've got the customer and the product in here. But now I need to add a relationship, okay? So I need to add the relationship to the survey here. So add a relationship, okay? So this is a virtual relationship. It can't enforce any kind of referential integrity here across data sources, but it can do the filtering for you. It can do the matching of the records. So when I pull up the survey, it knows the customer. I'm just gonna store that customer ID in here, okay? Now, if we deleted the customer in SharePoint, you would still end up with the ID. But that's the idea. We're doing a virtual relationship. Okay, and I just don't want to display this on the screen. So I'm just display it by default. And then we also need to do that with the product. I just do product to survey. Okay, again, one to many. Okay, and there we go. So now we have... Now we have this relationship between our SharePoint list and the survey. Now, that survey table I'm modeling inside of Lightswitch. Okay, so all the data that you model inside of Lightswitch is this application data. Okay, application data, eventually you will deploy that to any flavor of SQL Server somewhere, and even SQL Azure. So we'll deploy it to SQL Azure later, but you're building a local DB right now, and that will translate to versions of SQL Server when you deploy. Okay, so let's go ahead and start this sucker up and see what happens, huh? Oh, I don't have a screen. Well, that's all right. I don't have any screens yet. That's fine. Should probably add a screen. But what it's going to do is it will take and it is actually going to deploy into SharePoint for me. So if you're used to building SharePoint applications, it uses the same exact dialogue you probably see when you build any kind of SharePoint project. It's going to install it. It's going to start it up, but I'm not going to have any forms. Do I trust it? Okay. I actually have never tried this without putting a screen on there. Probably will say there's no screen. So, yeah, no home screen defined. All right, there you go. All right, so let's define a home screen. Okay. Notice how it's routing me back to my local IIS, though. Okay, so I'm running this inside of my IIS Express while I'm debugging, and SharePoint is communicating back to me. All right, let's do this. Let's make this a little bit more useful. Add a screen. I'm gonna do a browse data screen first. We're gonna browse our surveys. Okay, and that'll just, we don't have any surveys in the system yet, so we need some way to, you know, add some new ones. So let's actually change a couple things. Let's change some information I wanna see. Let's see the customer and the product in the survey. And when I tap on one, when I touch one, I'm going to go down to Actions. I want to edit it, okay, and I'm going to need a new screen for that. It automatically will, you know, prompt me for the Add Edit Details screen. And then I'm going to need a way to add one, so I'm just going to add into the command bar here another survey. Sorry, add method. Why did it do, oh, what had happened? Oh, hold on a second. This flipped back to, whoa. This is the wrong screen. I'm like, what happened? This is the screen right here, added into this command bar. I'm like, why am I not seeing this? Okay, because this is a set of surveys. This is a collection over here. In your view model, this is a collection of surveys. There are certain predefined actions that light switch will list. So when you're talking about a collection, we can add and edit inside the collection. So it's going to reuse the screen that we just used to, but it's going to send a new survey object into it. The lights are so bright, I didn't notice I was on the other screen. Okay, so this is the other screen. This is where we're going to be selecting the product when we create the survey. All right, so now that we have two screens, and if I want to make it really pretty, there's change this button to actually do an ad. Okay, now what it's going to see is going to say, okay, it's going to retract the app, and then it's going to redeploy the app, hopefully. Working on it. Now we've got a screen. That's good. We don't have any data yet. We're going to need to add a survey. So here we go. I'm going to say this is good. Shelf placement, mid-level. Now when I hit the customer picker, this is pulling the list, right? So now I'm going to say, okay, let's select a customer, and here are our products. Now notice our products are in alphabetical order, but our customers weren't. So let's fix the sorting on that. Some of the things I want to point out, though, is we're in a pretty big, you know, application. We're a pretty big desktop app here, desktop size. But as you know, mobile devices and tablets will shrink. You'll notice that LightSwitch also does automatically will reflow the layout for you. Okay, so you notice how on a mobile device it would look like this. So it automatically adjusts to multiple form factors. This is a SPA, a single page application. That can adjust multiple form factors. Okay, so you don't have to worry about writing any of that stuff. All right, so I'm going to save it. Okay, so now we've got our survey in here. Now I want to perform a couple things, a couple business rules. Like I didn't put the sales rep name in there. That should automatically be handled for me. Okay, so let's do some authentication. Wow, what's going on back there? I'm from California. That sounded like an earthquake to me. I'm sorry, I freaked out. I was ready to go under the desk. Okay, let's add some authentication in here. Let's see how this works. So see how we can start customizing some of this. Okay, so I think that that's pretty powerful already to be able to model the data and bring that in and associate it with multiple data sources and quickly create a mobile app. I mean, you know, but we've got a whole, 45 more minutes, so let's start customizing this thing. Actually, I have no idea. I know we've got 45 more minutes. Perfect. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go into the surveys here. Now, when I mentioned there's a whole pipeline of what you can do, business rules and that sort of thing. You're going to model your data, and you're going to write a lot of business rules in the data model. It's kind of annoying, isn't it? It's all right. Anyways, so the way we do that is we can tap into the methods, okay, in the pipeline. Okay, so here we got general methods. We got the created, deleted, inserted, inserting. All of these things allow you to do actions while this is happening. Okay, so also we have an entire access control methods, right? So can you update? Can you delete? Can you do this? Can you do that? Okay, so you're going to want to add a lot of, you know, probably a lot of business rules right in here in your data model. You're going to write most of your code is going to be written here, and this is all on the service side or the server side. Okay, so you can pick VB. I pick VB. You could pick C Sharp. Okay, that's just .NET. So let's go ahead in the inserting. Okay, before the row is actually saved, what we want to do is we want to say, okay, I need the entity needs to make sure that sales rep name is equal to me.application.user. Name. You notice we have also SharePoint in here too, right? So you can get it SharePoint, you can get it the app web and the host web kind of thing, and you can drill in and get also you can do all sorts of stuff with the assets. All right, so let's go here. We're just going to do user.name. Okay. So, all right. So that's the authenticated user. Okay. LightSwitch is already handling that for me. All right. So the other thing I want to do is when I start adding, you know, surveys. I want it on my mobile device when I'm out in the field. I only want to see my surveys. I don't want to see anybody else's surveys. So one way we can do that, and I kind of mentioned this before when you're thinking about multiple tenants, we can do the same idea. We can go into our write code and there's a filter method. Okay, and in this, we're just going to provide a filter, a lambda. Okay, so in this case, we're going to filter, and it's a survey, S dot sales rep name equal to me dot application username. Okay, so now that will just filter out those rows. Now the first survey that I just added will not appear anymore in our app. So let's see if that works. Okay, so good. So that there's no more. It's no more there because we didn't have a sales rep name on the other row. I'm not going to fill it out. It should do it itself. We still got to sort those things. It bugs me when lists aren't sorted. Okay, so now save. Okay, and we could refresh. And now we've got that one survey. Okay, so and if we open it up, you'll see the sales rep name. That's me. That's the token of my name. Okay, Beth at BethMassey@Microsoft.com. Okay, so that's the API of Lightswitch, right? You're manipulating entities through Lightswitch just like you normally would. So those folks that have used Lightswitch before and are kind of freaky about SharePoint, it's actually very easy to transition to move because you're still working with the entity model in this case. All right, so the entity model is the entity model. All right, let's go back and fix some stuff up. It seems like I have half SharePoint devs and half just regular devs in the room, so I'm going to try and placate to all that. Let's do this. I'm just going to right-click, and we're going to add a query. Okay, this is the third designer that I mentioned. We've been in the data designer, you saw the screen designer. This is the query designer. We're just going to call this sorted customers, and we're just going to provide a sort, company name ascending. And I'm going to do the same thing for product. Now, I could create a filter. You know, we could do filters. There's a where not. We can add, a group. You know, it can get fairly complex. Obviously, it's not going to handle every single, complex query. So you can also write code in this, and you can actually write a link expression in here if you want. Okay, so there's a lot of options here for the queries even, too. Now, I don't need any of this stuff, so I just want to sort. Okay, and we're going to do products. Add a query here, and just sorted products. Cool. And sort, we're going to sort the products by its title, name, product, what am I, like created ID, modified path, product name. There we go. Product name ascending. Okay, so now to use those, we're just going to go back over to the added survey. We're just going to add a data item. We're going to add a query. Sorted products and sorted customers. Okay, so add data item, query, and sorted customers, sorted products and sorted customers. Okay, and then we're just going to need to use them here. So I'm just going to go ahead and change these guys, auto sorted customers and sorted products. All right, cool. All right, so let's make sure that all works fine. Okay, so let's add a new survey here. Okay. Now we're going to see the customers now are in alphabetical order. The customers weren't in alphabetical order before in my list. Okay, so, and a product. Okay, so that's kind of like all you, there's a lot of other things I could go in on inside of Lightswitch itself, but I want to focus a little bit more on the SharePoint aspects of it. So, who was in my class yesterday? Okay, a few of you. So a little bit of repeat, but there's a lot of things. I'm not going to go as deep in this class on what I showed yesterday, but we're going to talk a little bit more about the SharePoint piece now. I mentioned that, see, you have the client-side object model available to you, okay, here. So you can actually start manipulating that stuff. Let's do a couple things. We're going to do a couple things. I have a user profile. If the profile service is working, that would be great. So I was having trouble with it before. Let's go about me. Yeah, so I was having trouble with this. So I have, it might not work because the user profiles were kind of off for some reason. my settings, and so I have inside of, there's my account name. There's the name that we mentioned. Yeah, let's see. They kind of just removed it from the menu here. Yeah, okay. Well, I have edited my details, my personal information. Let's see if this is going to work. I've edited my details, and inside in it, I have a custom field that just mentions what survey customer I'm supposed to work with. So it's associated my profile with the survey customer. Okay, so I have a survey customer matching someone in the list. What I want to do is I want to try and read that list, and then I want to basically, I'm going to have it set to Great Lakes Food Market. I want to basically say, okay, anytime I'm adding the survey, automatically set the customer because I know that this salesperson works with these customers. Okay, so let's take a look at how the CSOM works. I'm not hopeful that the demo is going to work because the profile service isn't working, but let's just walk through the code at least. Okay, so again, we're going to go into the surveys. And this time, let's do this. We're going to go into the inserting method. Okay, so we're going to just need to augment this a little bit. And I have some code already written here. We're going to import a couple things and then. All right, so this is the code we're going to use. Now, in order to access, and I also have to add a reference here, but in order to access the profiles, I'm going to have to grant this application access to do that. So let's go back, flip over here, and then first add the reference. We'll need to add a reference to the server for the profiles. So, okay, so that's just our user profiles. Okay, and now I hopefully can just add, the import. Okay, and the other thing we're going to need to do is we need to go to app manifest and the permissions. We need to grant this permission for the user profile. However, if the user profile is not working, it's not going to work, but we'll see. Okay, so let's flip back to what we're doing here. And actually, I named the site data. So you have your surveys data. So notice that you can get access to security data, which would be any security data if you weren't using SharePoint. It's the roles and that kind of thing. But survey data is the data that, the surveys, and then the application, or the products and customers, and the application data is our surveys. Okay, so each data source you can access this way. So really what we want to do is we want to access the survey data customers. Okay, here's where I'm trying to say where the survey customer is equal to the customer inside that list. All right, if I find it, then go ahead and set it. All right. Who wants to take bets? I know a lucky man in the room right now. He's lucky. If his luck is following me, this will work. I'm just nervous because I couldn't access it through Office 365. But you never know. Okay, so you see how it retracted? It's now installing. Okay, so we're going to trust it. Okay, so now when we add a survey, and actually let's go ahead and let's put a breakpoint in here and see if it's even going to work. It'll probably fail right at execute query if it's not going to work. Okay, let's do excellent. Oh, I'm not going to pick, let's actually pick a customer like Lazy K, okay? So that's not me, something that I'm not assigned to, okay? It's trying to work. Oh, yes, it worked. Okay, all right, yes. Chris, you're awesome. Okay, I'm gonna give that to you. All right, so now it's gonna set that customer. Okay, so it found the customer, and we take a look at the customer. You see it says Great Lakes Food Market. That was set in my user profile, okay? Okay, so if I refresh this, I set it, but it sets it on the server, and so there it is, Great Lakes Food Market, the third one, okay? So that's, I'm using SharePoint asset. I'm looking up something and manipulating my business logic based on that. Some of the other thing we want to do is, say when a survey is created for a customer, I want to update the customer list. So I've been updating the data that I've been creating, the surveys itself, but that you're not limited to that. I could actually create screens over just the products and the customers itself too. And we can manipulate those lists through LightSwitch. Okay, it's just a data source. So let's do this. Let's go back over. Actually, let's go in here and just say in the inserted method, after we insert something, let's go ahead and update the customer. So what I'm going to do is just say right here, take this data. So what I'm doing here is survey data. So I'm just doing a query where the company name, you know, so where the company name is equal to this entity, and just get that customer, get that related customer, and then set their last survey date. You notice on the list I had a last survey date in the custom list, and I'm just setting it today, and then I'm going ahead and saving the changes. So I want to show you this because it persists the auditing on the record using my credential. Okay, so I haven't had to write any of that OAuth code myself. Okay, so let's add one more. Hungry owl. Okay, that's cool. All right, chocolate. All right, so it's going to be this. I shouldn't confuse you. It's going to be this, no matter what. Great Lakes Food Market is going to be updated. So, it's a little slow. Office 365 is grumpy on the third day of a conference, I guess. Yeah, normally it doesn't take this long. Okay. So now if I go back up to the site, you'll see that we preserve the SharePoint Chrome in here. So we've got go back up to the site, and you'll see Great Lakes Food Market 6.5, right? It's 6.5, okay? And if we go in here, you'll see that it was updated at 2:01. Oh, well, because that's Pacific time. Okay, I promise that it just happened. By SurveyUp TechEd on behalf of Beth Massey, okay? That's exactly what we wanted to happen. Okay, that's not impressive at all, but okay, I think it is pretty impressive because I didn't have to write any of that code. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I want to start integrating with some additional Office 365 services. Like I want to send an email now, so I've updated the survey last survey date, but I also want to send an email out to the customer. Said, hey, a new survey is available for you. Okay, look how crappy or how great your stuff is. Okay, so We can integrate with Outlook, you know, with Exchange here through the Exchange Web Services. That's what I'm going to do. So let's go into and stop this here, close it down. Okay, so I'm going to just add a couple references, the Exchange Web Services here. And the other thing I'm going to do is I have a little bit, let's see, I have just a small little mail helper that just is going to give me my username and password because I don't want to show you all my username and password. So believe me, this little thing, this little class just knows my username and password. Okay, so because I just don't want to show it to you, world. Okay, so, yeah. Okay, that's a little mail helper. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, okay, we've inserted the customer, and now I want to send an email. So I'm just going to create a new method in here. Okay, and I'm going to use some links too. So I just need to also add a reference to system.xml.link, systemxml.link, because we're doing some fun stuff there. Okay, there we go. And now I just need to hopefully import. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so what I'm doing is, I need to just add an email to the survey. Okay, so what I'm doing is I'm just using the Exchange Web Services and grabbing my password, creating an email, creating a survey that, you know, just kind of doing a cute little linked XML here on the survey. So I'm just saying, hello, thank you very much for your survey. What we're going to need, though, is we're going to need an email field. So let's just go ahead and add one. So I'm going to toggle the view back over here. We're going to go in here, and I'm just going to say, let's add the email. Now, when you add an email, what we can do is we can specify that this is an email address. Okay, so LightSwitch is business types. It has instead of the storage is still a string type, I'm going to get a little bit of business logic for free here and an editor that knows what an email address should look like. Okay, so if we go back over to our add edit survey, I'm going to go in here, and now I'm going to say email, and now I've got like a little email address editor. Okay, so if I specify an email, I should get an email. I'm also saving the email that I send in my outlook.com sent folder. So, okay, so let's go in the survey, get a new survey. Excellent. Top. And pick my customer. And then let's just send an email to me. So we keep adding, more and more functionality to this, and it's actually calling, the Exchange Web Services as well. So if the internet is a little slow, it's going to be a little slow. Oh, and it didn't work. Oh, and there's the user profile. All of a sudden stopped working, right? It was working before, and now it's not. So that's okay. I already showed, the demo worked, so you believe me that it worked one time. That's the brilliance of working online in the, you got to keep you on my toes. Okay, I'm not even going to deal with it. Actually, we're gonna just take all. Actually, just take all this out. Yeah. Okay. Let's run it again. Because I want to show you the email working. It's weird because it's like the user profile just stopped working when I got up on stage 2 minutes, like 10 minutes before I started the thing. It's like, okay. I'm gonna add a survey again. I'm gonna see this work. Okay. Actually, if I don't type an email address, this is what I was talking about, the validation you get is an invalid email format, right? Beth, let's do this. Let's not send it to my Office 365 account. Let's send it to my Microsoft account. Okay. Okay, good. Now, it actually sent out. We can go back to the site. And if Outlook will open, that'll be great. And hold on. Where is it? Should be in sent items. Here we go, sent. And a new survey. Where is the survey? Here. Is that it? Hello, Great Lakes Food Market? All right. So if I check my Microsoft email, I could probably show it to you. So should I open my Microsoft email on camera? No. That's probably why I'm not going to do that. All right. So at any rate, that's kind of like how we can kind of start to integrate more services and that sort of thing. So I don't want to do that. So it would be bad. Now, the nice thing is, like I mentioned here, is we're really kind of focusing more on the server side and what you can kind of do with SharePoint and that sort of thing. And I mentioned you can, you can deploy even more SharePoint assets by working with the SharePoint project. But really what you have here on the client side is just a web app, an HTML5 application. Okay, so you've got default, this is the content, this is all the CSS, this is all of the JavaScript. So you can go in and start customizing that. What I want to do is I don't want to do too much because I did that yesterday. I did a lot of JavaScript customization, but I want to just show some of the potential here. So there's a way to just change the theme. Let's do the theme change here. Instead of a light theme, there's two themes that LightSwitch comes with. I'm going to show the dark one now, light and dark, and then I'll customize it completely. All right, so you might like this better. You can brand it. The pictures, the image library. You can change all the images, so I could, you know, brand it a little bit better. So there's the dark theme now. You might want a dark one instead of a light one. You want it to match your SharePoint site, so whatever that is, right? So this is the dark theme. But like, say I, you know, say my theme I want completely different. I don't want a light one or a dark one. The easiest way to do this is, because it's just jQuery mobile, is to take the theme, let's say take the dark theme, open that up, I'm going to copy it, and then I'm going to go to jQuery mobile theme roller. Okay. Who's never seen jQuery theme roller? It's really awesome, actually. Use it if you're doing theming for mobile apps. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to import the theme, okay, the dark theme. And there's our swatch. So there's our dark theme. This is the easiest thing ever. And I'm going to, you know, let's change this to, like, I don't know, green. And we can make it really hideous, too. We could, oh, not that. Oh, we could do that. Woo! Okay, I don't know. It's pretty good. So, you know, I'm not a designer here, but this is kind of the idea. You could mess around with it. I don't know, maybe we could do, actually, we could do A's colors, you know, that. Also, I'm going with a dark theme, though, so I really should keep it on the dark side, okay? And maybe we could do A's colors like this. I'm a big Oakland Athletics fan. Okay, oh, it's a Rastafarian thing. That's what it is. Okay, so now when we're done, two people got that. Okay. It's kind of Christmassy now. Okay, so now that we're done, we can go ahead and download that. So we'll just download that and call this and we'll just download it and save it. Okay. There we go. There's our theme. Now we're just going to open this up, and then I'm just going to take the theme, copy it, and then we're going to go back over into Visual Studio, and I got the Rasta theme going on now. Now I just need to go back in here and change that to Rasta. Okay, so okay, there we go. It does look like Christmas, huh? A little bit Christmassy, but and as I click on it, I should have yellow right in the background. All right, so there we go. So that you can get very creative just using standard CSS. Somebody's laughing around now. Okay, but I just again to just stress how fast we created this business app inside of SharePoint. SharePoint. I'm looking at the red now. and how you have the flexibility of just doing standard CSS, HTML5, JavaScript, you know, on this particular client. Okay, so now let's talk about the deployment of this. Now say we're done with the app. Let's talk about the deployment wizard. Okay, so let's go back to toggle the view back over here. What we're going to do is go to release mode now, and I'm going to actually go back up to our site here, and I'm going to go to the dev home. What's been going on here the whole time? If it's working on it, it should work on it. Please work on it. Okay. We see the apps in testing here. Here's our app that's been in testing. We created it, you know, 15 minutes ago. All right, now we're ready to actually deploy it, so I'm going to remove it from our dev site now. Okay, so what we've also got here is we've got the app catalog here. Let me just go to the app catalog. Here, sites, app cat. I have an application, a corporate catalog. So now I want to distribute this app. Okay, so in order for users to be able to install the app on the site to use it, we've got to distribute it first. We've got to install it into the app catalog. So let's now publish it through SharePoint or through LightSwitch. Okay, so you have a couple options. I mentioned the provider hosting or the auto hosting. Okay, so if you choose provider hosting, which, you know, I think in a lot of business scenarios you're going to want to go with provider hosting because you want to keep your data. But maybe with a small app, business productivity app, you might not need it. So it's totally up to you. But provider hosted, it's basically going to walk you through where are you going to now publish the middle tier, okay, in the database. It's going to walk you through, like, okay, I'm going to pick Azure or my IIS server, and it'll walk through the data connections and the authentication, the SharePoint authentication, like how do you authenticate? Are you going to use ACS? Are you going to use a client secret? Or are you going to need a high trust? You need a certificate? So you can develop doing one mode and deploy doing another without modifying any of your code, okay? All right, so I'm going, for this purpose of this demo, because this could take a little while to deploy all this stuff, I'm going to just auto-host this particular application. So in this case, what it's going to do is it's going to put everything inside of the package. Okay, so it's going to automatically auto-provision. SharePoint will take it and auto-provision it into Azure, actually, in some mysterious location that only, you know, SharePoint knows. Okay, so that's the difference. Okay, so let's go and do this. There's really not a lot here. The data connections is just needs the connection to my site. Okay, and we're ready to publish that. Okay, so it's wrapping up all the stuff. And you'll just get an app package. Okay, so there it is there. So now we need to distribute it. Okay, so we're going to go over here and distribute apps for SharePoint. Go in here. Okay, I have had one before, but we're going to add another one. So new app. Okay, browse. Okay, that's not it. Don't do that one. This one. Okay, and we can, you know, like, please use this one. Okay, so it shouldn't take too long like it says, right? Working on it. Okay, so now we can set up some, you know, like a description of the application. Survey app, you know, Rasta. Okay, then I'm going to also make it featured so that it floats up to the top, okay? And then I'm just going to give it one hosting license, okay? So we can manage how we want to, how many licenses we want to do this for. And you know, end users should see this app as an option to add to sites. So you can actually hide it or not hide it. You can do all sorts of stuff. So I want to see it. So now it will get in there. So now it's ready. Now if we go back over to say our surveys. Okay, now I should be able to add an app. What did I do here? Page, add an app. What am I seeing it? Edit, right? No. Awesome. Okay, well, let's add it to another site because this site is giving me trouble. So maybe I can just do it over here. I have another site. You know, you always got to hide here. So, it's a social plan or what? Why can't I add this? Why is it app catalog? Yeah. Add an app. Why am I not seeing this? Browse. No. Yeah, site contents. Right. Okay. Yeah. Let's just do that. Ah. Okay. I had it on the top. My mind is going away. I don't know. So anyways, here it is right here, apps that you can add. Okay, now when I click on this, I trust it. Now remember, because it's auto-hosted, it's going to just one site per, each site has one instance. Okay, so it takes a little bit for it to kind of spool up, but now it'll add to the site. And actually, this one will probably look better with the green, because I had the Rasta green and red thing going on. So that's probably a better site to do it for. Okay, so I want to flip back to the slides here. It's almost time up, and I want to take questions. So I just want to recap some of this. And I know it's a little, the afternoon sessions sometimes are a little, you know, we need to pump up. Let's just, design time experience. This is what's really interesting, I think, about how we built the screen designers is when we released the first version of LightSwitch, we're all working with a Silverlight client at the end of the day, but the screen designer for the HTML client is very familiar. It's exactly the same. It's almost exactly the same. There's a couple different features, but it looks familiar. Okay, so we wanted to keep the same design time experience. We wanted to make sure that we set you up for success with the right set of templates. Okay, so I didn't really do a lot of modifications to that. You can obviously change around the whole content tree. You can put anything and drag and drop from your view model into the content tree. So we still have the concept of the same design experience for you, and it's just an easy get started and get going with the screens. We wanted to make sure that we also supported the dialogue, so you saw the dialogue pattern and the form factors. Depending on the size of your browser, if you're running it on a phone, then you're going to meet the screen will automatically adjust. Instead of two columns, you have the one column. We also have the concept of pop-ups as well. I didn't show that off today, but you have dialogues, you have pop-ups for additional information. When you think about mobile applications, you're thinking about displaying a minimum set of critical fields that they don't have to scroll through a lot. But then you always have like advanced options and that kind of thing. So we provide a lot of like modal dialogues to get more information, okay, that kind of thing. The customization, we can do some customization via HTML and JavaScript. That's inside the screen designer. You can hook into the rendering of the controls themselves. I showed that yesterday. So you really have a lot of flexibility on how you want to design the client in the first place. And then, you know, obviously we can customize the look and feel with standard CSS, okay? It's not anything crazy. Theme Roller is really a nice thing to just kind of use and get started with. All right, so there are two labs in the HOL area, and I think they were having trouble with them the other day, but they're supposedly fixed now. The VMs were having trouble, like all the VMs were having trouble. So there is a lab on building the SharePoint applications, and it does use the survey app scenario, but it has a lot of different things in there. It shows you how to build, like, you know, a picture library, I think, and so you can take pictures while you're on the survey. And then there's the H304 is the JavaScript, more about the JavaScript customization and stuff. So if you're more interested in that, I would do both technically, but you know, that get started with that. Okay, so just remember that, you know, in Visual Studio 2012, you could build desktop clients with OData services, but in April 2013, when we released Update 2, that's where the HTML client and the SharePoint support is. Okay, so that's where you want to make sure that you're on Update 2. It should have toasted you. You guys should already just have it. Okay. All right, so if you don't remember any of these links on the page, just remember that msdn.com/lightswitch is where you can get all the information that you need on, you know, how do I videos and articles and our blog and the community. And the community it's an awesome community, great support in our forums. I couldn't be happier with how the community is turning out. We welcome SharePoint developers to our community, so please help us, you know, help the SharePoint folks in our community. So I will take questions now. If you have a question, go up to the mic because it's being recorded, and I don't want to repeat your question.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Hello. Hi, I had a question. On the grids that you have in LightSwitch generates for you automatically, how do you get the row handle to that? So we ran into a situation where you have like a parent, child, a further child, and what I want to do is I want to take the row handle and take it outside, or maybe like render my own page, not necessarily the auto-generated grids that get generated, because this becomes very complicated on one screen.
I see. So many. Yeah. You want to pass the object from JavaScript to another HTML page that you have? Is that the question, or
right, the grid? Basically, your selected row on the grid. Mm-hmm. How do I capture that? What's the selected row on the grid that's generated by by LightSwitch?
Yeah, so there's a selected item. It's like myapp dot whatever the name of your collection is dot selected item. That would be the selected item on the screen. You're talking about HTML, or you're talking about Silverlight?
It's a little different. So
Silverlight is the same thing. There's a selected item off the collection, the view collection there that you have, the visual collection.
And which event would we trap on that?
When would you trap? Depends. It's a button or after a save, or there's a whole bunch of events inside of the screen. So whatever is most appropriate. There's a created event. So you probably want to do it like after a save, or after someone selects it, maybe? So selection was made?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I couldn't find. Like, I couldn't find a way to tap into that event. I mean, I thought maybe it's behind the code somewhere.
So are you talking about the HTML client or the Silverlight client first? I didn't hear.
So Silverlight client.
The Silverlight client. Yeah, why don't you come up afterwards? I'll just show it to you. It's not that hard.
Okay, and the other question I had was about the database. You mentioned that you have a local database that gets created.
Yes.
Is there any way to override that on the install? Because like we
on the what?
On the installation, like can we point the dev itself to go to a different database, not install a local
external database? Data sources, yes, not in internal data, like the intrinsic database has to be on your box.
Has to be, okay. Thank you.
But it just uses local DB, which is installed with Visual Studio 2012.
In terms of user context to SharePoint, you were showing how you can use the user context. Can you do app-only connections to SharePoint if you don't want to use the user, say for an anonymous?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you can
and
do that.
Is there, and this is a basic question, is there a claim support for the app itself?
Claims, yeah, I'm not quite sure how far we got with claims. So if you want to give me your card, I can shoot an email to the PM on that one.
Thanks.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is more of a SharePoint apps development question as opposed to a light switch question, but the top project, the actual server-side project in your demo, what was that Visual Studio template? Like, what project type did you use there?
So if you just if you wanted to use just SharePoint projects?
Well, no. Like, you had a, you were pulling from an Azure database, right?
Yeah. It's a light switch. File new project, light switch.
So light switch is like the server side component.
It's the whole stack. It's right. The server side, the database, and the
so
client.
When you look in your new project, add new project, there'd be a light switch whole section there, right? One would be the client, and one would be the server side project.
When I said file new project, actually, it creates it all together for you. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it.